Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle Age number 53. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, my gosh. Nothing too much. What's going on with you guys?
I'm doing all right. Nate?
Coughing. I'm trying to, like, hold it back for Nate so he can, like...
Yeah. Coughing.
Are you?
Coffee coughing.
Yeah. Mr. Coffee Cofferson.
Coffee Cofferson, you're right.
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm fine. Dude.
It's Nate's new moniker, huh?
Yeah. Coffee McCofferson. It's Monday.
It is Monday.
It's Monday, Monday.
Na, 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 na. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
The mamas and the papas.
No, we're doing all right. Yeah.
You asked how our week was going. We're like, it's okay so far.
So far. Well, for Monday. I wanted to ask.
You did want to.
I didn't. Because I don't care, really.
I know.
I'm still
Nate
have a job.
And I know.
Yeah. Good. That's good.
That is great.
That's good, Nate.
For now.
Okay.
For the moment.
Well, you know what? Just live in the moment. Live in the present.
Yep.
Don't look ahead, you know.
Don't care what other people, how they're doing.
Easy for me to say.
Right.
Part of my industry.
Yeah.
Todd has become a sage. Sage Todd.
Sage Todd. Oh, you're trying to say, Sean? Is that because of my age?
I'm trying to say.
Because of my age, I'm a sage?
You're a sage, right? That's right. How do you know?
That's another way of saying you're old. Right?
You're 50 plus.
I always tell my kids, I'm not old, I'm wise.
Uh-huh.
Or I'm older. See.
That's good.
Dad, why are you so old?
Call.
Herb.
Sage.
Herb, yeah, herb.
Man. We're going down the dad joke road.
So, creepies, as I said, welcome to episode number 53.
This is a mini, right?
This is a mini. That's funny. And Sean, why don't you tell our creepies what we are going to discuss?
We are going to discuss the White Lady legend. It's kind of a mouthful, isn't it?
Also, the Lady in White.
The Lady in White, yeah, also known as... Yeah. Not very many stories about it, unfortunately.
No,
it's
only
very
about
hard
17,865, I found. Yeah,
seems to be a worldwide phenomenon, right?
Yeah. So what did I tell you guys before we started recording? It's like one of the times we said, oh, what do you know? A Lady in White legend. And then I thought maybe we should do an episode on all the Lady in White spottings.
It's in every country. It's in every state. It's in every city. It's in every principality. It's in this house.
So this mini is going to be like, what, 5 days long?
It could be, yeah.
It's a 12-parter.
Oh, okay.
We're going to link them all together.
It's a mini series. Yeah, so
I started to say tapestry.
Tapestry.
I was like, don't say it.
So I'm going to read a little foundation on this legend, if I may. So a white lady, or woman in white, is a type of female ghost. She has long, straight hair, typically dressed in a white dress or similar garment. Okay. Reportedly seen in rural areas and associated with local legends of tragedy. The white lady legends are found in many countries around the world. Common to many of these legends is an accidental death, murder, or suicide, and the theme of loss, betrayal by a husband or fiance. An unrequited love. So there you go.
Put your binoculars on.
Oh, man. Oh. Something else. Whew. Okay. So, there you go. That's it. Creepies, thanks for joining us.
That was all.
They're like, what? Okay. Right. Yeah.
Female ghost, all white.
All right.
Normally set.
So, I have got the first white lady legend. This is from Rochester. Now, it does not specify which Rochester. So, maybe whoever's out there listening, they might... they might know.
Clue us in.
Yeah, because it does say a specific area of Rochester.
We have New York.
Yeah, Rochester, Australia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, here we go.
We have one in Indiana, you know.
I know. Rochester's infamous white lady. Here we go. A few Rochester legends are as famous as that of the Lady in White or White Lady of Durand Eastman Park. Who is she? Why is she haunting the park? How can I find her? These are just a few of the many questions we get each year when Halloween rolls around. The legend of the Lady in White goes back to a time when the lakeshore was a vacation destination for travelers near and far. Large tent cities would be set up seemingly overnight with guests staying to enjoy the lake and other area amenities throughout the entire summer. There were hay rides along the lakeshore, and young men would bring their best gal and try to scare her into getting close by telling her the legend of the Lady in White. Years later, a Boy Scout camp set up in the park, and the legend of the Lady in White became a popular story to tell around the campfire. The White Lady is said to haunt the area known as the White Lady's Castle in Duren Eastman Park. The castle-like retaining wall is actually the old Twin Lakes Pavilion, a refreshment stand built in a then popular Spanish fort style. The wood structure that once sat atop the hill and hosted diners, has since burned down, leaving the eerie staircase and castle-like wall. Though this is the most popular area for sightings of the White Lady, she has been spotted throughout the park and in Irondequoit area, including at the golf course and nearby neighborhoods and in Irondequoit Cemetery. Yeah, it's spelled like iron to quote, but anyway,
that's probably perfect right there.
Yeah. Sounds like it, huh? So was the Lady in White, or I'm sorry, who was the Lady in White? Was she a distraught mother whose daughter was murdered, or a watchful wife waiting for her husband's ship to return to Lake Ontario? So must be in New York.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking when you said sure.
Could she be an escaped insane asylum patient? Mm-hmm. Ooh, to learn more, join us for our popular Lady in White ghost walk offered selected Saturdays in October. Oh, there you go.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, at least we figured out it was in Rochester, New York. So
yeah, there you go. We did deductive reasoning. It's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Right? I like the castle type thing. That's kind of cool. The staircase and the wall. Yeah.
I'm going to talk about one of the most popular ones, or one that a lot of people have probably heard of. If you haven't, it's going to be enjoyable. But I wanted to say first, too, that I watched several videos of the 10 most popular videos of women in white, or the ladies in white.
Uh-huh.
And the majority of them, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, they're shocking, but they look so fake. Like, they're like, this is like, you know, like, oh my God, get away from her. Then she's still there. It looks totally like a person running around in a white dress. Most of them. Some of them are a little creepy, and it's like, but they even say, you know, you have to determine on yourself whether you think they're real or not, but it's like.
Took you a split second to say, probably not real.
I don't believe in, I don't know if I believe in any of them, honestly. But there was one, the one that looked the most convincing was there was this bike rider that was supposed to be in Indiana. Not Indiana. No, wrong one. India. And it shows him at night, and he's a YouTuber that normally shows his bike, you know, trips or whatever. And so this is at night. And so he's got his camera. He takes a wrong turn, and the footage shows him like this lady in white coming across his path, and he books it out of there. That one looked the most possible that it could be like, what the heck was that? But it still could be staged. Totally.
Sure.
But anyway, that was because it was like he wasn't meaning to like take that, you know, veered road. But
if you guys remember, there's a lady in white at the Slippery Noodle.
Oh, that's right. Ooh. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Man, that was going back. Yeah, that's right.
We talked, well, and then I wrote down the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery has the lady in white that's sitting on the grave. So I was like, we just talked about one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so really, I'm going to get back to the one I was going to read. Is the legend of Resurrection Mary. One of Chicago's most famous ghost stories is that of Resurrection Mary. The legend goes that she was killed in a hit and run while walking home from a ball sometime in the 1920s. Ever since, the ghost of a young woman in a white gown has been seen by dozens of people along Archer Avenue. Generally, she tends to be walking down the side of the road, searching for a ride home. Those kind enough to pick up the stranded woman are surprised when she vanishes into thin air before reaching her destination. She's duped several cab drivers, and according to one man, she somehow got out of the car without ever opening the door. Resurrection Mary has also been spotted in popular dance halls in the South Side, and men who have danced with her usually noted her ice-cold hands. That's crazy.
That's creepy.
Resurrection Mary is so named for her connection to the nearby Resurrection Cemetery, where she is said to be buried. She often asks for a ride to or from the graveyard, promptly disappearing once she reaches her destination. The story of Resurrection Mary starts at the O. Henry Ballroom in Willow Springs. A young woman named Mary was attending a dance with her boyfriend. Later on that night, the young couple got into a heated argument. Mary decided to walk home. She marched on through the rain down Archer Avenue wearing her white gown. Mary never made it home. She was struck and killed by a car between O. Henry Ballroom and the Resurrection Cemetery. The driver of the vehicle that hit Mary was never identified. It was assumed to be a hit and run, with the driver leaving Mary to die on the side of the road. And there aren't there bars that were supposedly like mangled, and then they tried to replace them, and they would continue to have like they were I don't know.
I'm not sure.
You don't.
I haven't heard that.
Uh-uh. I've heard this story, but
yeah. I mean, Resurrection Mary is the most popular. Don't you love it? I don't know about the bars.
I don't know about the bars.
I'll have to check into the bars.
Sounds like you're making that up.
I'll get back with you about that one. That could be a whole other story. I don't know. I got too many files here.
That's all right.
Yeah. I have one from Easton, Connecticut at Union Cemetery. It dates back more than 400 years.
Oh.
It is... Nobody is quite sure who the White Lady is, according to the Damned Connecticut, which I assume is some sort of literature or group. Some think she could be the ghost of a woman who died in childbirth and is still searching for her baby, which we hear that all the time with them.
Never heard that before.
Others speculate it is the ghost of a woman who murdered her husband. Mm. Another story that holds true with a lot of these. The White Lady could also be the ghost of a murder victim,
mm-hmm.
who was dumped in a sinkhole near the cemetery. No matter her origin, she is often sighted on Route 59, which runs along the cemetery's east boundary. The people who have seen her say she's dressed in bright white nightgown and has her head and face concealed with a white bonnet. In the 90s, a firefighter responding to a call in the nearby town of Monroe said a woman in a long white gown jumped in front of him and hit her, and he hit her. According to the Monroe Sun, the woman rolled over the top of his car and landed in the road behind him. When the firefighter leaped from the vehicle to render first aid, his hood was dented, but there was no one there.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. That was what? Connecticut?
Connecticut.
Cool.
Easton,
Connecticut.
Nice. I did find those bars, by the way.
Oh, yeah, go ahead if you want to read it.
So, there it is. There's a picture of it.
Okay.
Right chair.
Okay.
And it says, let's see. It talks about all the different sightings in that. It says she's also reportedly burned her handprints into the wrought iron fence around the cemetery in August 1976. Although officials at the cemetery have stated that a truck had damaged the fence, there's no evidence of the ghost. But there was an idea that they try to replace those, and this still comes back, these handprints. So every time they try to replace them, I don't know.
Which is weird.
It's very weird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, so I was making that up.
Well, I'm glad you confirmed that.
Yay. Good for me.
Good job.
Yay, Sean.
All right. My next one is in San Diego. so here we go. About 30 miles north of San Diego in the area of Harmony Grove is the Elfin Forest. A mysterious white lady haunts the forest searching for either her two children or her husband and son, depending on which version of the story you hear. Version 1 has her husband and son coming to the San Diego area to shop for land, only to get massacred by Indians. The woman, unwillingly to accept the loss of her family, comes out to California to find their graves, but while searching, the house she was staying in catches on fire, and she burns inside. Now she still haunts the area looking for her husband and son as the White Lady of Elfin Forest. Now, in version 2, a young couple with two small children lived in a cabin which doubled as a stagecoach stop that Indians again attacked. Before she dies, however, the woman hides her two children in the hollow of a tree. Luckily, the children were found the next day safe, but their mother did not live to know this, and thus her specter still searches for them. There you go.
And there you go. I got the lady of, the White Lady. I get mixed up on that. The White Lady of Kinsale. Hey, I get mixed up anyway.
There's a theme here.
I know. Yeah, I know. Follow that theme, right? It was a wedding that resulted in three funerals, the bride, the groom, and the bride's father, and all four events took place on the same day. It was a tragedy worthy of Shakespeare, and it is the basis of Ireland's best-known ghost story, The White Lady of Kinsale. Kinsale Harbor and Charles Fort. And it's supposed to be a very haunted place, at Charles Fort. Kinsale Harbor is on the southern coast of County Cork. It was an important strategic location, the Siege of Kinsale having been the climactic battle of the Nine Years' War between England and Ireland. Charles Fort was built on the East Coast, so on and so forth. There's a bunch of history. So ghost in residence, the White Lady. Today, Charles Fort is one of the best remaining examples of a star-shaped fort in Europe. It was declared an Irish National Monument in 1973. So the legend of the White Lady is a tale of Wilfer Warrender, daughter of the commander of Charles Fort, Governor Warrender. She fell in love with an officer named Sir Trevor Ashurst, and soon they married. After their wedding, Wilfer and Sir Trevor were walking the grounds of the fort. Wilfer saw beautiful flowers at the base of the battlement, and Sir Trevor decided to climb down to get her some. Then an on-duty sentry volunteered for the job. Sir Trevor took the man's place as guard, and he waited. Sir Trevor fell asleep when the sentry didn't return. So shot through the heart. Wilfer's father went on his nightly inspection and saw a sentry leaning against the wall. Governor Warrender had a reputation for enforcing a severe military code. When he saw the slumped sentry, Warrender called out a challenge. It went unanswered. Determining the sentry was asleep on duty, Warrender shot him through the heart. He only realized afterwards he had shot his son-in-law. Grief-stricken, Wilfer jumped from one of the ramparts, throwing herself into the icy waters below. Wilfer's ghost is called the White Lady because she wanders the fort in her wedding dress. Reputedly, she is looking for any sleeping sentries wanting to awake them so they don't get killed. Ooh, isn't that awful?
It is awful. Hmm.
Oh, and there's so many. They said there's tons and tons of sightings of them around there. Mm. And even around the streets of Kinsel. So It's around that fort and all around. So she's going around trying to find her lost love and protect others.
Very sad.
It's always a sad one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have the Stowe Lake Lady in White Ghost. this is at San Francisco. For more than 100 years, visitors of the Golden Gate Park have been telling of a woman who appears glowing in a white dress in search of her baby.
Her baby.
Another baby. legend has it that her baby disappeared either while she was out on a walk. I don't know how your baby's supposed to disappear if you're walking with it. Or while boating in the lake during the Victorian era, and that she drowned while searching for the child. She has haunted the lake ever since.
Mm. You know, I've figured out they don't swim very well.
Yeah.
they're drowning a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but man. Okay. Well,
so it's rough to be a lady in white is what you're saying.
Yeah, so
don't wear white.
So if you see a lady in white by a body of water,
leave her white there.
All right.
Pull her away.
With the bad desert.
Don't drown. We're going to be reading about
you. She goes in the water. She's drowning.
I know. It's like, man, they ought to have like. Yeah. It's just. Oh, my gosh. I hate to make light of it, but. Okay. Here we go. My next one is called The Legend of the White Lady of Fonte Point. This is an Anderson Air Force Base in Guam. In the early years of my childhood, this is by Joyce Martrett. She says, there were many instances where strange and unexplained experiences occurred here at the Air Force Base. Chamorro parents handed down these legends through generations, and many are believed to this day. Long ago, families from Upper Mong Mong Village walked to church early in the morning, and after returning to their homes, there were occasions when a group of people witnessed a lady in white, or in a white flowing gown with long silvery hair and a sad face that sometimes wasn't clear. Of course, everyone became terrified. Adults started praying, and the children ran away. The lady in white lingered for maybe less than 30 seconds and was seen elsewhere on the island throughout the years. This legend dates back to the late 1600s. A dashing, romantic Spanish officer pursued and courted a beautiful daughter of a prominent Chamorro family. Proud and happy for their daughter, the parents gave her permission to marry the officer. After the couple came back from their honeymoon, they settled in the village of Mena. In the beginning, the couple was happy, but the Spaniard's attitude began to change. Soon, he began to expect his wife to wait on him. He became demanding and abusive. There was a river not far from their home, and the water was fresh, pure, and sweet. He offered his wife to fetch him water. Isn't that nice? This river every day. Finding it a relief to be away from her husband, the wife used this time as a happy and secret ritual. She took her time enjoying the serenity of the flowers and bamboo trees surrounding the river. She especially treasured the time she was at the river when there was a full moon. One day, she lost track of time and took longer when fetching the water. Her husband became angry and wanted to punish her. On one stormy night, he commanded her to get water. The wind was blowing hard, the rain poured heavily, and whole land was in total darkness. Because of the weather, she had a difficult time finding her way to the river. Not realizing she was near the riverbank, she walked right into the soft, wet soil when suddenly she felt herself pulled into the river with great force. The water was whirling and turbulent. It wrapped her with intense, raging force. She screamed, but no one heard her. The husband became so angry when she did not come home that he immediately took off to look for her. Other villagers also went. The officer saw the aftermath of the storm and the still flooding river waters. He realized what had happened and what he had done. His wife's body was never found, and the Spaniard became repentant, grieved for his wife, and died lonely not long afterwards.
Aww. That is a sad story.
Yeah. Well, jerk. And still good job.
And she still haunts, right?
And she still haunts, yeah. So.
Well, I've got Lady in White, ghost said to haunt many spots across Pennsylvania. This says, you just never know when a Lady in White specter might be waiting up ahead on a dark and foggy roadway somewhere. Take a late night drive along the dark back roads of Pond Bank and South Mountain in Franklin County, and you might just meet the White Lady of Pond Bank and hopefully won't regret it. Also known as the White Woman and the White Witch, the ghostly specter dressed in a long white dress has been reported to leap up onto the hoods of cars passing through the forests of an area. Yeah, she got spirit.
Get off my car.
Get it? Spirit?
I get it.
She's also known to suddenly appear in front of a booby. I was trying to keep my humor to a minimum, but sorry. She's also known to suddenly appear in front of moving vehicles, causing them to swerve to avoid a collision that never happens. Sometimes she's accompanied by a small white ghost dog, because we love a good ghost dog. According to the Franklin County Historical Society, local legends hold that she is a ghost woman looking for a lost child or a lover who drowned, or even a drowning victim herself. There also, it's common themes, right? There also are those naysayers who claim the generations-old tale originated in 1952 prank when two teenagers dressed a dummy in a white dress, suspended over the road on a rope, and swung it out in front of passing vehicles. Now, that's kind of funny. The White Lady of Pond Bank is just one of dozens of white lady apparitions reported or rumored across Pennsylvania. There are thousands of similar legends with modern sightings reported regularly around the world.
You know what I'm saying?
Lots of shared experiences, sightings, legends, and lore, probably so common to the modern world because of the same white lady spirits that have been around for centuries. And there you have it.
And
there you go.
So if you're playing a game, the white lady would be a common character.
Yeah. Actually, sure. Yeah.
I have the Terrence Inn and 1911 restaurant in Petoskey, Michigan.
You been to Petoskey?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
I figured it's... Where is it at?
You're over in
Michigan? Where kind of. Like,
oh, yeah. Of course you'd ask me that.
Where on the hand?
Talk to the hand.
Yep.
I believe it's towards the West Coast, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
I may be wrong. Don't hold me to that.
Oh, you might be right. Yeah. You might be crazy.
But I don't know. It might be on the East Coast.
Nah. Whatever.
It's in Michigan.
I can't remember. I haven't looked at it for a while.
Definitely on the South Coast.
It's in Michigan.
It's in Michigan.
Right? Somewhere.
In Michigan.
Look at a map. Okay, so over the decades, there have been many reports of paranormal activity at the Victorian Inn, just north of the city of Petoskey. If you ask the desk clerk for the inn's ghost files, they'll hand over a thick folder with accounts from past guests and employees. Based on the evidence we've recorded, it seems these reports may very well be true. After 5 years, this historic inn remains one of the most paranormally active locations. There seems to be three prominent spirits that wander the inn. The first is a lady in white, seen in the hallways and guest rooms. Could she be looking for the man in tweed? Another ghostly apparition was seen on the balcony. Then there's the interactive youth, a lad of perhaps 12 or 14 years of age who inhabits the basement. See?
Another
one.
Wandering around.
Wandering around.
Probably looking for a baby or a loved one.
Yeah.
Remember how many of those when we did haunted castles, almost all those haunted castles we read had a white, you're like, and there's a white lady and a kid in the attic.
It's funny listening to other podcasts. Somebody in the dungeon. The same thing we do. It's like, oh, what do you know? Right, a white lady legend.
No way.
or like, I remember Jerry Polly will say, wow, you won't believe this, but there's a lady in white spotting.
We're going to say that from now on, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This one is called The White Lady of Millinocket, Maine. Wow, Millinocket.
Don't knock it until you try it.
That's right.
Could have been direct.
Hey, all right. If you live in Maine, then you might have a good understanding of why author Stephen King, I've heard of that guy, he based many of his stories in the state. There is a fog so thick you could cut it with a knife, and nights seem to last forever in the winter. Maine is home to many ghost stories, one of its more famous ones being Haynesville Road and the paranormal activity that comes with it. But what some may not know is that there is another stretch of road in Maine that has had rumors of a ghost since the 1950s. On their way back from their honeymoon, a couple were driving from Brownville Road, not too far from Millinocket, Maine. The couple's car swerved off the road for unknown reasons and crashed. The husband instructed the wife to stay in the car while he went to look for help. When he returned, she was not to be found, and no one could figure out what happened to her, at least not until she began haunting the road and nearby bridge. To this day, Millinocket locals claim to see her while driving through the Brownville Road. One local, Kayla McGinnis, who is attending UMPI, has this to say about the story. She says, "My friends told me I was at a campground, and they dared me to go with them." McGinnis also had information as to why the lady haunts the road. I think the myth, the lady died and someone stole her wedding ring and she's there for revenge. So perhaps there is more to the story than many know. There are many stories about ghosts seeking revenge, but McGinnis's next comment indicated that the white lady may not be dangerous. If you bring a necklace and ask her questions, she'll show up. It worked, but none of this was dangerous. Another local from Millinocket, Megan Wasakin, walking, whatever.
How are you getting all the fun words today?
Good night. Has heard stories of the white lady, but does not have any personal experiences. Wasakin has some insight on the bridge where the story takes place. She says, "It is a dangerous bridge, and there's always a lot of those bigger trucks, too, on the dirt roads. The best road condition there, and there's always accidents on that road with wildlife and people speeding."
Mm.
There you go. In Maine. Millinocket.
Oh, I don't know. I ain't going to try to say that over again. Millinocket. Okay.
Don't Millinocket till you try.
Right. Exactly. Right. That was a good one. I've got one more. The Lady in White of Summit Cut Bridge. Now, this is interesting because I saw a lot of stories about like train tracks and
where is it located?
Let me
see. What does it say?
I thought it said. Hold on. Darn it. I thought it said the state.
Oh, well, I was just curious.
Oh, okay.
No big deal.
So, the Lady in White, every town has one. It might say here long. A ghostly apparition of a woman in a flowing white dress whose untimely death results in the haunting of the scene of her demise. Big Beaver's Summit Cut Bridge has two. Located on Shenango Road, Summit Cut Bridge has been the site of many tragedies over the years. Initially a railroad bridge, the narrow span was built in the 1890s to reconnect the neighborhoods that the railroad's track split. Like most legends, there are several variations of the tragedies, but the ghostly encounters are the same. The Lady in White is reported to appear around midnight walking along the bridge. Some say that she is there to warn travelers of the dangers of the bridge. Others say that she is there to wreak havoc by startling drivers into accidents or worse, distracting them to force them off the bridge. The Hauntings of Summit Cut Bridge is the fifth installment of the Times video series, The Parajournal, by award-winning videographer Gwen Titley. Regardless of her spirit, Summit Cut Bridge possesses a body count of confirmed deaths throughout the years. Thomas White, an archivist at University and author of Haunted Roads of Western Pennsylvania. So here we go, Western Pennsylvania. There are two versions of the story. According to his research, they allegedly occurred in the 1940s and 1950s. The first story involves a woman who was driving alone at night, made the bend too fast and went over the rails and plunged 90 to 100 feet to her death. The other is a woman who jumped off the bridge and killed herself. Supposedly, people go to the bridge at night. They would see the woman in a fog or late at night on the side of the bridge. White said the original story is she would be motioning this lady in white, and people would think she's signaling for help. But what she's actually trying to do is make you go off the bridge. Other people claim they see this figure in white walking up and down the bridge. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. I'll pass.
Yeah, I'll definitely pass.
Oh, yeah.
You got one, Nate?
Nope.
Oh, it's like, I'm out. You looked at your computer. Out. Well, you know what? I will wrap it up. Right. I've got one. This one is, it's called, we were talking about earlier, the Lady of the Lake.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best known Dallas legends is the Lady of the Lake, a ghostly figure who haunts White Rock Lake Park. The ghost of White Rock is born. A woman named Ann Clark wrote the account of the Lady of the Lake legend published in 1943. The ghost of White Rock was included in the Texas Folklore Society's publication. Backwoods to border, in this accounting, a young couple parked on the shore of White Rock Lake. When they switched their headlights on, they saw a woman in white coming toward them, a young girl dressed in a sheer, wet, white dress. She spoke in a faltering voice. "I'm sorry to intrude, and I would not under any other circumstances, but I must find a way home immediately. My boat overturned, says the others are safe, but I must get home." She climbed in the rumble seat, saying that she did not wish to get the young lady wet. She gave them an address in Oak Cliff. When they asked her for directions, they turned around, only to find the rumble seat empty and wet. The couple went to the address she gave them. A sad man met them at the door, and the man told them, "This is a very strange thing. You are the third couple who has come to me with this story. 3 weeks ago, while sailing on White Rock Lake, my daughter drowned." The Lady of the Lake legend grows. In 1953, a similar but much more detailed account of the Lady of the Lake legend was included in Dallas author Frank X. Tolbert's book, Neiman Marcus, Texas. The story of the proud Dallas story. In this account, a beautiful blonde girl appears on the road near White Rock Lake. Mr. and Mrs. Guy Malloy, directors of display for Neiman Marcus, spot her standing as if she had just walked up from the beach. Upon seeing the girl standing in the beams of their headlights, Mrs. Malloy said, "Stop, Guy. That girl seems in trouble. She must have fallen in the lake. Her dress is wet, yet you can tell that it is a very fine dress. She certainly got it at the store." Meaning, of course, Neiman Marcus. The friendly girl asked them to take her to an address on Gaston Avenue in nearby Lakewood. She didn't offer an explanation for her state, and the Malloys were too polite to ask. Her long hair began to dry in the night breeze. Mrs. Malloy was now sure the girl's dress was from Neiman Marcus. It's funny how she's really concerned about that dress, like not the situation. The girl got in the back seat of the two-door sedan. It's not a sedan then. When the car started, Mrs. Malloy turned to discover the girl had vanished. The only trace of her was the damp spot on the back seat. Puzzled, the Malloys went to the address she provided them. A middle-aged man met them at the door. She informed them that this blonde daughter, who wore nothing but Neiman Marcus clothes, drowned 2 years before when she fell off a pier at White Rock Lake.
Mm.
And there you go.
Hmm. I had a funny one, and this isn't as funny as some of the things we've gotten into, but we're talking about there being a movie, Lady in White. I've never seen it. 1988. Right.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to close that out, Sean.
You know how I know, but this is just funny.
Sean,
this isn't
totally kidding.
It's a story.
I know.
No, but you're gonna laugh. So you remember Mona from Who's the Boss?
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's the lady in white in this movie.
Is she really?
Sort of.
Oh, that's funny.
I love her. She's apparently 89 nowadays. Did you know that?
Yeah.
She's still alive. So I love her. But Catherine Helmond was her name.
Yes.
Yeah. She's awesome. But yeah.
That's fun.
I love this.
What
she's
year
still,
is that? What year
kicking.
Was that?
88.
Yeah, 1988.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, she's
one of my best years.
She's 89. Oh, no. I'm sorry. She's. What? Oh, darn it. I thought she was still alive. It said nope.
Oh, did she pass?
I pulled it up. No, she passed in. She beat. Just before COVID. 2019.
Oh, okay.
She was aged 89. Darn
wow,
it.
That's a long life.
Sorry, Mona.
Yeah. Sorry, Mona.
Catherine.
Yeah. Mona.
Oh, well, I loved her as Mona.
Oh, she was a hoot.
But it's actually kind of funny, though. So, that's cute.
Well, those were fun.
Yeah.
The Lady in White Legends. Fun. There's plenty to read about.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Thousands and thousands.
And thousands.
Or you could say billions and billions.
Well, Nate, what do you think, man?
I'm all whited out, so that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Okay. Well, I appreciate
that's about
that.
As good as you can do with that, right?
Yeah. That's about
it. Getting in trouble.
Like it. Well, thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Age Mini number 53, discussing the White Lady Legend. And we will talk to you later.
Bye.
See you.